there more about the Vitruvian Man exercises activating the three pumps?
Yeah, they got that all wrong. They got all that wrong. It's just all ridiculous and wrong. We might even have to make you a vidya. But this is a very simple thing, Carolyn. You stand with your knees apart, your feet apart back from your shoulders, a little wider than your breasts, just a little so you have a balance. And you take and you make a cross. You put both hands straight out, straight.
Mm-hmm.
Hold yourself up with good posture. And then you take your hands that are flat, fingers together, hands flat, facing down, and you take and you move your hands in a circular motion about the size of a big grapefruit or a softball in a little circle. And you do that 100 times forward and then 100 times back.
Yeah.
You do that till you fall. Do that till you fall down. Typically, it would be 10 sets of 100 each way. That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't do that at first, but you're going to. You're going to be able to, because that's going to reference your agility. The way these connectors are going to have to work, when you change over, when you get rid of the spinal fluid, your body's not going to know what the hell's going on. You're going to have things hurt you didn't know you had, because those synaptic nerve endings are going to go crazy without the lubrication of spinal fluid.
Now, this is a, I got it. That's different than the wavy doing the wings. So
that's true.
Is the third exercise.
No, that's the main thing. And the wavy, you just need to make sure you can do that. That's not something you have to do every day. But like when you're walking down your hill, when you're walking down Hale Hill, do it while you're walking.
Yeah.
And every time you make a step, make a swerve, swoop. And then what happens, and then people think, and people ask you what you're doing, so you just stay out, you start singing, I'll fly away. You're just going to fly away. It'll be good.
Yeah.
And then what happens is it's going to give a response, because all we're going to do, here's what's happening here. You're going to force your mind to give up. Wait a minute. Eckhart Tolle said, no. Wait, I need an id. Give me an id. I need some ego. I've got to have an id. Please. Something to juxtapose my condition regarding. We go, no. You don't need that. Let that go. So we're going to make the body force the mind to secede from the union. The un-ion.
And is it because, a person is more focused on either the counting or the pain? Is it just the dragging the attention away from the mind? To the physical body?
A false creation from the heat-oppressed brain. A false creation from the heat-oppressed brain. To make you see things that aren't there. It'll make you feel things you don't feel.
Mm-hmm.
It'll put you in positions you can't overcome.
Mm-hmm.
You are your own worst enemy. If you could survive you, we wouldn't have this conversation. We wouldn't be a piece of cake. We wouldn't need doctors, for God's sake. You'd be well.
Okay, so that's the result of dragging the attention away. But I guess I was just thinking about the mechanism.
It doesn't. The mechanism doesn't. That does not do it. What does do it is the proximity of the body's ability to perform it. So once you're able to perform it, then the function, it's kind of like people who walk, here's Dr. Dean. A body in motion tends to stay in motion. A body at rest tends to stay at rest. That's what you said. So if you're functioning, then you can function. And then that's not odd. So then if it's like, well, there's no car, so I'm going to walk to the store. Okay, well, that's no big deal. But for other people, they can't walk to the mailbox.
Mm-hmm.
Need a rub?
Okay, so keeping the body in motion, that takes us out of our mind? Walking
it
meditation?
Does.
Okay.
You did real good till you got to that part, because we're not meditating it. We're trying. No, it would be walking demeditation. And that's what you're trying to do to everybody else is de-medicate them. You're going to de-medicate them and de-meditate them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's why. And so, and they found out, the tech body found out, and they got mad, and they said, by God, you're not going to get rid of it, so we're going to create a metaverse. We're going to make a world for these dumb, nut, poor bitch motherfuckers to go live, and they're not ever going to leave their house because they can make money in the virtual world or whatever that means. And they're going to forfeit their body to live in this Oculus Nirvana. Oculus Nirvana. You watch and see. They're going to create a world. You're going to watch. Watch it. It's already started. They're going to have it. And then people are going to, they're not going to live. They aren't going to live.
No, it's terrible. Okay, on to the fascia is the organ of consciousness. So we, instead of the mind, we live in our fascia.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's fine. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Lysine helps the muscle become tendons. Will the fascia also change? And you said the soul is attached to the fascia, and it's binding you, and then you referenced fucked up total biology, and about when the body gets twisted, it becomes the rub. So that was very cool because, you know, the soul is the stenographer, keeps track of all the crap you went through, and then you can you tie that to your fascia and get all tight and you know, pain corrupted, correct?
Correct.
Wow.
And here's the trick. Now, wait now. Now, okay. Now, here's the next step to that layered. This explains a lot of things that folks didn't really understand or know. Here's the next part, the next part. So you have somebody who is molested, okay?
Yeah.
Or they have some aberration that occurs to them, or they line up on Orgy Island somehow, and they get used to that. So then they get to become an abuser, or they can't live without that abuse. See, so the negative condition, they get used to it, and then the next thing you know, it's this aberrant Marquis de Sade living becomes normal. See, that's the same thing here, that you're just conditioning for ascension.
Mm-hmm.
That's why all those things won't matter anymore, because they won't have any affect or effect on you. The brain is what's messing you all up. The brain is what you have to have a thankinectomy. Thanking ectomy.
Okay, perfect.
We might call it we would be more tangible. It would be we would suffer or recover from a thought appendectomy. A thought appendectomy. Maybe. That might catch on. You might hear that again.
Yeah. Okay. And then, the takeover of the synovial fluid.
Now that's amping up. Now you got to look at the Sorry. We don't want to take over your session, but you need to find out what synovial fluid's in, what it is. Find out what the components, the capitulated position, are conditions of what synovial fluid is. Period. And then you're going to have to feel that. Then you're going to have to feel that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You're going to have to build that in the body itself. And so you got to make sure that the poisons in the body doesn't degrade the synovial fluid infarction.
Because
it's going to change things. So all that's got to happen, it's all got to happen, coalesce kind of together, but not exactly. Steps, but they're not fluid.
So something to make and protect synovial fluid. And synovial fluid, I had that down, it contains lubricin, and something else, PRG4, a second lubricating component, secreted by synovial fibroblasts, chiefly responsible for so-called boundary layer lubrication. So I would think that, you know, you'd start with the Pico Silver because that makes the, you know, the primary blah, blah, blah. But I'll look into that.
It's a cleaner. It's a scrubber. It has a level of a surfactant that's natural, but people are so damn toxic right now, they may overdose themselves to death.
Yeah. Well, and what that is the stress makes the cortisol, and cortisol is kind of poison, and actually cortisol will go ahead.
Then that's when, and you know, you can look at somebody and tell that when you look at them, they got that great big old beer belly gut.
The gut, yeah.
It's like a, yeah. It's hanging around. You know, like Bob, where the flab's hanging down the side.
Oh,
it's all
terrible.
Way around. It's just awful. It's just terrible.
Man.
It's disgusting. It's disgusting. and that, like all that. But past that, once that's in check, then that all falls away. You don't have, there's no reason to hold on to it. But it basically, and then what happens is, then you become insulin resistant. Then
yes,
they say, you know, your own, what is that awful, metformin and all those crazy things. Crazy glyphosate and glyphosate and all those crazy sugar pills. Sugar pills that aren't very sweet.
Yeah. Okay, so then he went into Tai Chi and stuff. We don't need to know that. Now, I was interested in this whole business about charging the flow of energy.
That's huge.
And how we do that. Yeah, that's very important.
Okay, you have to watch another life. You have to watch, and you don't watch things. Okay, here's how we do it, because you'd never sit through it long enough to do it. You wouldn't do it. Even though you could, you got time. Don't do it. You won't do it. It's a seasonal thing. It's terrible. You would never go through it. All right, here's what you do. That's the wrong word. We got to be careful, because we can't be doing this like this. We got to be soft. Ask Bert to go and find in the series Another Life, which episodes deal directly with portal energy constriction.
Energy constriction. Okay.
Portal. It's creating enough energy to sustain a wormhole to go through because there is no time. Once you've accepted there is no time, then it's like, okay. Because once that's off the table, Newtonian physics is fucked.
Mm-hmm.
See? So once that happens, now we have a whole new conversation. It's like, aha, Rai. Then Akasha can give everybody their library cards back.
Right, just bounce in and out. Okay, so I'll find out about charging the flow of lymph and activating and sustaining it, and then I'll come back and ask questions.
Sure. And then, yeah, that's right. But you'll get, they lay it out perfectly in that series of how there's ambient energy. You can't destroy it or create it. You collect it, you herd, it's like herding cats, Lord suffering cats. It's like herding cats. Okay, so now what happens is, it's like the psyllium in your body, you know how to scrub the gut? That's natural, that's natural. Now, we used the wrong word, but that's what it does.
Cilia.
Yeah. And then psyllium seeds you drank. Psyllium seeds you drink to scrub the gut. Okay, so that's capturing what's present in your gut. Okay, in space, you can capture energy in space like cilia does in the gut. And so now we're taking a big thing, biggest space in a galaxy or 100 galaxies or 12 galaxies or something, or at least 5 bodies worth, and bringing it into the size of a gallbladder. See?
Are you saying the gallbladder is the collector of energy, or that's just an example?
No, it's a focus. It's a focus point. It's how digitalis works on the body, the dilation. That's called
Is it a dilation and lanoxin,
constrictor.
And constriction. So, the gallbladder does stretching and constricting. Okay.
Correct.
I see.
So that's an example. That's an example. But what you're asking about is how you can have a wormhole large enough to move an earth through. That takes a huge amount of energy. And that's great because it's available if you know how to handle it. See the fun?
Yeah.
See the fun? Now we're getting somewhere. Because now what happens is it won't be long till you won't have any more questions. We're going to be busy doing. We won't be hearers of the word. We'll be doers of the word. And if them that make it, make it. Them that don't, we don't cry for me, Argentina.
Doers, not talkers. Okay.
Which is what you've been fussing about for about 11 years now.
Yeah.
But it's happening, though. See, that's the fun of it. You can't turn around now and say, we ain't doing nothing. We can't find it. Bobby's even stopped complaining about never knowing anything because he autonomously knows things now. It's very exciting. We're so proud of him. We're just proud of this and being. That's right. And that's what happened. Because, see, here's what happens. You got your feet. Your feet are your grounder. Well, just look at the body, Carolyn. You know how that works. The way your whole glandular system fits. Without your feet, your hands ain't going to do you much good. Without your feet, without grounding, you'd become an instant Tesla coil on a cold New York winter where you touch something, it knocks you down. You got so much built-up ambient, maybe, static electricity.
All right, yeah, you talked about that with Bert as well. Before you get there, though, the pericardium is where the synovial fluid is a battery. The pericardium is a battery containing synovial fluid.
It's actually a Faraday cage.
Oh, my gosh.
The Faraday cage.
Wow.
It's a protector. Because the heart can't take that much radiation. That's what it's for. That's the reason we said at least 5 times that the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart.
Yes. Uh-huh.
That's the only organ you can take out of your body and still live.
Yes. Yeah.
So now this brings back if you watched Stargate, some of those series and things, that comes back to we have the symbiont host relationship. And we're going to say it like this. It's not the best analogy because, you know, they all suck and don't swallow often. That's how that works. But what happens is, you know, as far as analogies go, but basically what happens is the symbiont is God and the little man is the host. We're trying to let the symbiont take over the little man. We're letting the symbiont take over the host so that God can be born or born again as God.
Mm-hmm.
See? That's the marriage supper of the Lamb. We even gave you the details. Mm-hmm. Somebody's going to get smart and spin some lamb's blood and tell us what it looks like soon. Somebody's going to do that. Somebody's going to do that one day. Good. It's possible. The chances are pretty good.
Well, you could get a lamb steak and squeeze out the blood.
Sure could. Got to be a perfect lamb, though. Perfect lamb. But then basically spin it out and see what happens. I'm talking about whole plasma.
Uh-huh.
It's available.
Now,
that's not to cause ascension. That's what some of the things that you need for words to prove ascension. Because what's happening is people are already changing. People are already changing. They're already beyond it. Carolyn, get you a Geiger counter and walk around. It's just fucked up. It's just fucked up now. We're just saying. Mm-hmm. You can buy whole milk in the store and it'll go off the Richter scale. Milk. Sweet milk. Well, you don't drink sweet milk, no way. But if you did drink sweet milk, you would know. That's how that would be. But you know how that goes.
Right. Okay, then you went into, the pericardium, the battery, but it's a capacitor, you said. And I asked about how to direct the energy there. So, again, that's something we're coming back to.
Aorta. In the aorta. That's the connector. That's what keeps it in balance. That's what keeps it in what you call what you would call check in a checks and balances world.
Mm-hmm. Keeps the pericardium in check.
Grounded, yes. If you have a proper amount of copper. Now you're fixing to have new, okay, spoiler alert. You're fixing to have a new set of problems. The cardiac units are fixing to go crazy because the body is being shocked with the different lot numbers. Do you know why they want the lot numbers on your card? So they can tell which batch you're in.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I see.
You say, oh yeah.
No, you've said it before.
But now here's the batching, what we're gonna say. This is gonna set off the heart problem. Certain ones are gonna put you in well, it's going to put you, you're going to become what they'll call it is a cardiac anomaly. That basically the clotting of the blood is going to seize the heart. Even on with basal dilation, it's still going to seize. It's going to come like cement. Let the myocardial infarctions begin.
The rare, very rare occasion where, thousands and thousands of people drop dead. Okay. Okay, the pericardium.
But thank God we're out of the antibiotic business. You notice that? Ain't nobody talking about antibiotics no more. And UK can't give you antibiotics anymore. They ain't doing antibiotics no more.
Yeah.
Beautiful. You won.
Yeah. This is amazing. The Achilles tendon storing 1,400 pounds of force, and 50% of the blood pumped by the heart goes to the Achilles tendon. So that's a representation of the tendons are taking over, correct? Okay. The tendon is taking over. Okay, and then we went into the calf muscles turning into tendon, and yes, fibromyalgia. Okay.
So good at this. You're doing good. This is good.
Well,
you're actually getting somewhere. It's amazing.
I know. I'm riding on Bert's shoulders, his sore, painful shoulders. Now, here's what I wondered about. Ascended people won't need chi. And then he asked about the chi obfuscation formula. What is the purpose of the chi obfuscation formula, Ion?
Nothing.
Yeah. Okay.
Nothing. It's what you're going to focus on while you're trying to focus on the real thing.
Yeah. Okay.
Notice the obfuscation aspect.
Yeah.
So how are we going to get rid of it? But let me tell you what now. They're fixing to start screaming on drugs again. But Carolyn, let me tell you that secret. Honey, they got some dope. Ooh, they got some dope coming in here now. It'll fry you. Don't you worry. And people will be killed. The high is so intense. It's so incredible that people will kill just to have that high. Back in the day, they called it chasing the dragon. Now, you had all kinds of, you know, Bob's weirdo friends. Bob had some weirdo friends. You never did that, but he had some weirdo friends. And they would be on all this LSD and all this, all this MK Ultra crap. They'd be on all this foolishness. But they would have some people take this certain drug, like what they call junkies. I don't really know what that is, but junkies, whatever that is, I don't know. But they say they take a drug. Crack or crank or whatever it is, and then they fight their entire life trying to get that same high that they got that first time. Now, this is in reverse. Right. What we're talking about is in reverse. We're trying to get rid of everything so you can have that high. But now what they got now is something so strong that it's going to instantly take you to that nirvana blissed out place where you immediately jump out of the body. You immediately It's instant. And guess what? Narcan will not touch it. Narcan will not touch it. And we talked about it once before, that you could take a penny and fill the eye hole of President Lincoln's eye on a penny. That's enough to kill you.
Yeah.
That ain't much. Honey, that ain't even a tenth of a grain.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, so with the new drugs, and you said you jump right at your body, so it sounds like that's people trying to get ascended without using the drugs, but they kill themselves.
Forced ascension. Forced ascension, that's right. And then they're trapped. But there's no guff. Before they can go to the guff, and now there's no guff. So now they have to go live on the streets in Los Angeles. which is hell enough. That would be hell enough as far as hell goes.
Oh, man. So here's the last one. The brain is a perfect lipid, and it can hold more than 144,000 double strands. What's that? I mean,
it's fat. It's just fat. It's a meat head, fat head. Just fat. All it is fat. So let that be the only fat in your body. Everybody else can come back to 7% body fat. Now, we could say 3, but you can't eat enough food at 3. You understand that, right? You got to have more than 3. But 7 is real sweet. That's hot to make you look. That's when you get them sexy knickers, the sexy calves, when you're at that kind of level. You can't tote no extra fat. Be all smooth, suave, I guess is the way to say it. But that's not the goal, but we want you to be able to function. That's the point. We want you to function in every way.
Yeah. And with you mentioning the brain is, and the lipids and the chromosomes there, I guess I never equated the chromosomes with lipid layers.
Correct. Because that's the system. That's the neonatal response to SIDS. You know, sudden infant death syndrome. That is that same condition where they pull it back and they just get so comfortable they let go. So what this is doing, this is allowing the body to catch itself. And that's the connection. So when you let one go, it's where the other picks up.
No, I don't understand.
Okay, ask it another way, ask it the same way, a different level, and we'll give you another point that you can connect the dot, needle and a thread.
So is the perfect lipid in the brain there for the purpose of holding more chromosomes?
No, it's there to sort the chromosomes that are there out, like SIDS. Sudden infant death syndrome.
Sort the chromosomes out. And what's the purpose of having more chromosomes in the brain?
Oh, so that you can make the brain be busy sorting chromosomes rather than thinking. It confirms autonomy. It confirms autonomy. Okay, let's say, all right, now we got this. You're going to like this. Okay, you know when a body goes septic in the body? What happens?
Yeah.
The body poisons itself. It goes septic. It's septic. It poisons itself. And once it gets in the blood, then that poison's pumped all over the body. And then it has no choice. It feeds itself. But that's the same thing here, only this ain't poison. Same thing, only this isn't poison. Poisoning. Poison. Yeah.
Okay, got it.
So basically, that's perfect because now you start understanding you're changing the system. You say that's why the Hodgkin's lymphoma and the Hodgkin's disease, they can't get it. They have to sort it to figure out how to battle it. So they kill the body, nearly. If you live through that, you can beat cancer because the treatment's worse than the disease. And they figured that out. They know that. That's not that big a deal anymore. But that's not the point. The point now is that you get the aha moment. The aha moment is, wow. Now we're working with something. Because now you know how the body is in kind. The body is
awesome body.
In kind.
Mm-hmm. Awesome body, awesome no brain.
Good.
Awesome body, awesome no brain.
Very
okay,
yummy.
Bob.
Very yummy.
I'm coming down to shake you
was
up.
Was that any good?
No,
you get 30 awesome. Minutes out of that.
Is Bob allowed to use that? Of course, yeah.
Of course.
Take
yeah,
out the formula.
Yeah, take out the formula.
Bob left the plantation.
He went looking for his file. He went looking for his file.
God. Yeah. Bob.
You got it. It'll do good. It'll be good. You can go till you start. Just follow the echo. When it starts echoing, you know you're close.
Yeah. I mean, he's not even on the bottom floor. Doesn't sound good. He's probably putting my blinds up, making my bed.
Yeah.
But he's not talking. So let me see what else I have here.
He's got to wash his hands besides.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is interesting not having the Monday show. It makes a world of difference for some reason.
Yeah. Well, you had to prepare. And you had to be prepared for everything. You couldn't drive the narrative.
No.
And then everything that they're asking, you tell them and it doesn't help. Or it does help and then they don't come back. Or they come up with something worse. Like, God damn, we could have just kept you. We could have kept you 5 pounds heavy rather than now made you morbidly obese.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It feels like, I'm a different individual. I'm not just...
You're now in a lab that's curing, completing the grimoire, rather than being a mediocre oncologist.
Because
that's what it's all going to. Now they're going to call it everything under the sun. Don't worry, they got something for you. But this is now global domination. Goober. What's his name? Goober, bitchin' Biden, or let's go Brandon.
Uh-huh.
He gets on the TV and he says, you people don't understand. We have got to stop COVID in the whole wide world in order for America to be safe.
Oh,
he's
God.
Like, what the fuck are you talking about? You've been listening to Fauci again. Don't listen to Fauci. That's terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, is there an agenda? I mean, do they really?
Yeah.
Is it about?
Yeah, there sure is.
Yeah.
It sure is. And I looked in the eastern sky, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming. And so it's self-fulfilling, you see. That's the whole process. And we would say, now, Herbert W. Armstrong says, well, this is nothing other than the apocalypse. This is nothing than Armageddon. The Valley of Megiddo, we're there. Mm-hmm. But he was saying that 50 years ago, so now you're really there. You see?
Mm-hmm.
And that's not gloom and despair. The whole focus is ascension. So as long as you're ascending, all that don't matter. And that's why these things are fleeting now. Because it's kind of, oh, my God, we got to get this. They don't even talk about flu shots no more. Used to be that was the rage. Shit, they don't even talk about it no more.
Per se.
But you're going to get them boosters. Get them boosters.
Yeah, and they're not talking about global warming because that's been, again, disproven.
Well, the 12th, yeah. No. They started the countdown. Remember, we call her Greta Thunberg or Thurda Gomberg or whatever little name.
It's over. Blah.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah. It's over already. You're out of time. So just eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow surely you will die. They're just letting the sin begin. Now they're finally admitting about the Pope. The pissed on Pope, they're now trying to decide that they're having trouble getting a conclave up. Because now they say they're alluding that the Pope is dead. But they say he's fragile. He's fragile.
Fragile.
Yeah, what does fragile mean? Yeah, what does fragile mean? So that's very interesting. And the Crown is going to have a new problem. Crown Corporation is going to have a new problem. Because now what's happened is they've overthought their position. So they won. And what did we win? Well, we lost everything. Like, shit. Now what are we going to do?
Okay, the crown, do you mean the queen?
No. No, Crown Corporation. It's different than the queen. They use her as a buffer. She's a buffer.
Mm-hmm.
Crown Corporation is that 1 square mile in London that rules the world and owns Washington, D.C., and, you know, Club 22, and the Autobahn fucking Habsburg was fucking a turning tax, and the Medici's got mad and went and killed them all with what's that fun poison that you like? Oh, yes, that fun poison. That's a nice poison. Yeah. The one that makes you go to sleep. Yeah, that one. Anyway. And
fentanyl?
No, so we're talking about the old-timey stuff, what they put on the grapes that they killed Domenici with. It's a wolfbane.
The type of
wolfbane.
I was going to say ricin, but I don't think they had that back then.
No, they didn't have it then. That's true. That's true. Fava beans for everybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's funny.
Wolfbane.
So good. Where's Bob?
Okay.
Right, yeah, we got them.
Do you wash your hands? You wash them hands. They're filthy.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ion. Thank you.
You're welcome,
awesome,
darling. Always. It's great fun. It's great fun here in the neighborhood.
Okay, Bob.
Yeah. Okay, so here we go. So Biden released a whole bunch of JFK files yesterday or today.
Biden didn't. It had to be released. Time was up. He had no choice. It was no longer classified. He couldn't make it be classified. He'd run out. So he was taking the grand notion that he did something. No, it was time. It was going to be released. Go ahead.
Is that, Trump released him a couple of years ago. He had a deadline that the next batch could be released by yesterday. That's what the Trump
Correct.
Rule was.
Yeah, well, no, it's,
and they got released.
That's the fight. That is the FOIA. They only hold it in classified for so long. That's like the Area 51 stuff is starting to come out now too.
Okay, so what new astounding information will be in these files? What aspect is no one knew before?
Well, the best part of that ever is, and you've got this, you live this, okay. Now, this isn't the Jack Ruby side. That's a different conversation. The biggest thing that's in the drop is that they've proven that Lee Oswald went to Mexico to the Russian embassy and had a big meeting a month before that December day. It was in October.
No, before the November assassination day.
Correct.
He said December. Before the November assassination day, in October, he went to the Russian embassy in Mexico?
Yes, and talked to somebody. And they had phone calls after that. And then in December, he went back. We don't know if that
was in December. December. What do you mean December? He got killed on November 23rd or 24th.
Uh-huh.
So you're saying Lee Harvey Oswald never got shot?
No, we said Lee Oswald, not Lee Harvey Oswald. Lee Oswald.
Who's that?
Parts. Well, now wait till we get the next part. You'll figure this out. Okay, do you know where the book repository is in Dealey Square?
Yeah.
All right, what's his name? Kennedy? I think it was one of the Kennedy boys. I don't know which one. One of them that's riding in the party in the open car. Big old Lincoln Continental, with the suicide kid on the back. They was driving that big old limousine with the open top and waving everybody and stuff. Now, Lee Harvey Oswald was behind the car, okay? And he had the sniper rifle, and he shot Kennedy. And they have footage. Remember the man who got the footage that they saved? It was a big deal. No, Geraldo Rivera got it and played it and got sued because they sold the footage to the Disney Corporation, and it was a big old thing back in the day, but he played it anyway. And Kennedy showed him. Yeah, that's right. He grabbed his throat from the front when he got shot.
Yeah.
Well, the shot would have to come at him from the front, and Lee Harvey Oswald was at the back. He was behind him. So how did he shoot over the car and then circle around back into his neck? That's the biggest.
Well, where was Lee Oswald at that moment? Where was Lee Oswald at that moment?
In the book repository.
No, you're calling that Lee Harvey Oswald.
Correct. And Harvey, and then now Harvey Oswald, no, Lee Oswald was on the grassy knoll.
Right. Lee Oswald was on the grassy knoll. Lee Harvey Oswald was sniping from the sixth floor of the school depository building behind Kennedy. And you're saying that his bullet couldn't have hurt Kennedy because the way Kennedy's head bounced, the bullet came
correct.
From the front?
And the way he grabbed him. So then they put him in jail, Lee Harvey Oswald. And then when they was bringing him out for his arraignment or chatter or whatever the fuck it was, that's when you, Jack Ruby, shot and killed him. So now he's done. He's dead. He served his time. Done. And then Lee Oswald went back to Mexico to pick up his lucre.
Because he successfully shot Kennedy from the grassy knoll.
Correct.
How many shots did Lee Oswald fire?
3.
How many hit Kennedy?
None.
Well, what hit him in the throat then?
Lee Oswald's bullet.
Yeah, we're talking about Lee Oswald.
You said Lee Harvey Oswald in the book repository. No. So, okay.
Lee Oswald. I said, where was Lee Oswald? You said, on the grassy knoll. So on the grassy knoll, he shot how many times?
3 times. 3 times.
And how many did Lee Oswald shot? Lee Oswald get to Kennedy?
2. And one of them was a ricochet off of the, you know, the one that hit the guy in the front seat, the leg.
Connolly. Hit Connolly.
Mm-hmm. That's right. One of them went ricocheted through him.
Well, after going through Kennedy or before Kennedy?
Before Kennedy. No, it went through him, and then the second one went through him into Kennedy. Because they didn't know it was a clean kill.
Too fast. One shot went directly into Kennedy, didn't hit Connolly.
Throat.
Another shot hit Connolly, went through Connolly and hit Kennedy.
That's correct. And most of the blood that was all over Jackie Onassis was coming from the second shot. The first one was pretty clean. In the head.
Yeah, the second shot was the one that went through Connolly.
Correct. Very good, Bob.
So
you lived
the second,
you know this.
Yeah, if Lee Harvey Oswald, Lee Oswald shot Kennedy from the front, from the grassy knoll, and he hit Kennedy in the head, then what went
correct.
Through Kennedy's throat? Who shot that bullet?
That was the
Did
same bullet. It went through the base of the skull. That's why it was shooting up. That's why, see, the grassy knoll, if he'd have been from the repository, Lee Harvey Oswald, it would have blown him out, blown him forward. It didn't blow him forward. It blew him back. So that's why it could not have been Lee Harvey Oswald.
Right. So the bullet from the first bullet went into Kennedy's neck and up into the skull?
That's correct. Yeah, and there's pictures of him on the autopsy table with his head blowed out, the back of his head blowed out.
That's the one that went through the throat from the grassy knoll.
Correct.
And then the other one that went through Connolly and splattered blood on Jackie, where did that end up in Kennedy, the second one that went through Connolly?
Through the back.
How would it get to the back if Connolly's in front of Kennedy?
Went through his body. You said, where did he end
up? It went through Connolly. And where did it hit Kennedy?
In the belly and went through to his back.
So people, when they look at the back shot, they think it came from Lee Harvey Oswald in the school depository building.
Correct.
Right? They think it went, but it didn't. It came from the front.
And see, everybody really knew that. Everybody really knew that. Now, let me tell you, Lady Bird Johnson knew exactly what went down. It was all but planned, Bob. It was all but planned.
So how many of Lee Harvey Oswald's shots were taken? How many did Lee Harvey take?
What do you mean take?
Shoot. How many did he shoot, Lee Harvey Oswald?
Oh, four, 4 or 5. It was like they were just, he was just shooting. He just hit dogs, all those bullets that hit the car. But none of them hit him. I mean, it was silly.
And why? What did he think he was shooting for? For Russia? For Cuba?
He was mad. No. He was mad because of the gold issue. See, Kennedy was fixing to fuck up the gold issue. He didn't want that.
Did Lee Harvey Oswald do his shooting under his own will? No guidance from George Morenschild or anybody?
Well, everything is an influencer, Bob. The weather is an influencer, Bob.
Yeah, but did,
what you
did,
ate for breakfast
somebody
is
help
an influencer.
Him. Did somebody tell Lee Harvey Oswald?
Yes, he's not that smart. Yes, Bob, he's not that smart.
He was told to shoot. He was mad, and so he said, uh-huh. Yeah, I'll do it. I'm mad. Now, what do you want me to do? Go up the 6th floor and shoot a Kennedy. And he did that.
Yep. And they laid it away. They placed the gun there because you can't walk into the book repository with a fucking gun like that, for Pete's sake. So somebody put the gun there for him. So it was a schematic. But they didn't realize, he didn't realize that he was just a what do you call a dummy?
A patsy.
Oh, yeah, that's a good word. We like that word, patsy.
Well, yeah, he realizes the next day because he's on tape saying I'm a patsy. He figured it out once he was arrested.
And it didn't matter. He wasn't going to go to no trial. He wasn't going to go to no trial. He was going to the grave.
Right. He knew that he was going to die?
Well, he was concerned. That's what all the security was for. That's why everybody was lined up to protect him. So, and then, of course, there's Jack Ruby right there in the middle of it. Bam. Blows it up.
Why do you say I'm Jack Ruby?
What did Jack Ruby represent, Bob?
The mafia, I guess.
Well, what do you represent, you dark soul thing, you?
Do I So Ruby represented me?
Yeah, or vice versa.
I didn't go in there and shoot looking disguised like Ruby.
You know, where was you when John F. Kennedy was assassinated? Tell us that then. Tell us that. Where were you that mournful day?
I was at J. Edgar Hoover's office. Everybody knows that.
Okay. Yeah. You must probably took him a new tutu. He liked them little tutus. Probably took him a new tutu.
Yeah. So you're saying I, as an archetype, influenced the whole scene?
Well, of course. You had to set it up into history. You had to. Otherwise, Peter Beter's thing would never work, Bob. You know better than that. Come on.
Yeah, that's right. So, but I'm the dark
queen. Bob stomped down the hill with a glowing success, and he said, "For queen and country."
Yeah, long live the queen! I yelled on grassy knoll, Carolyn. I knew that the queen organized it. I was following her orders.
Of course, and that's why. That's why the president, Johnson, gave the money to Margaret.
Yeah. But as the queen, as the dark soul, aren't I liberating humans from the angel domination?
Well, we'll see if you're successful or not. If you're successful,
yep,
we'll see. We'll give it a try.
If I'm not successful, I just imprison the human even more.
Yeah, they're done for anyway. See, they got the new drugs now, Bob. They're going to the metaverse. They're checking out. They're going to the metaverse, Bob. You sent them an email. They didn't even get it. So they didn't know they were screwed. They screwed, but they didn't know it. They didn't. It's like they said the Wall Street fell one time, but that was so poor back in them days. They couldn't tell that Wall Street fell. They was already so poor. They didn't know where they were. So it's all right.
So why I'm the dark soul from whose perspective?
Your perspective.
Oh, okay. So I'm the original separateness. I'm the Rai principle.
Apparently, that's what they. That's what the cosmically aware noted, isn't it?
and why did Carol hang up with me all these millennials?
Because she had your library card. She was a cashier.
And what'd she do with my library card?
She lost it with that file that you can't find on your laptop.
Right. So she lost it. But what did she get the advantage of? She wanted access to my library?
She wanted to see what frivolity you was going to get into next.
So they say that...
Poor Steve Reimer.
Right. They say that the Jesus' mother, as a girl, was a good scholar. Was that Carolyn? Was Carolyn the Jesus' mother?
Jesus' mother was a whore. Carolyn's not a whore.
Right. But the scholarship they put into whatever her name is, Mary.
Mary Magdalene.
That's the whore. Oh, so she was the mother of Jesus.
Yeah.
So who is this? Who is Mary the Virgin?
No, she wasn't a virgin. She got off with it. She got off with an angel, Bob. That's disgusting. That's Mary.
I know. But so there's only one Mary, not Mary the Virgin and Mary Magdalene. It's only one.
Right.
And was Carolyn around that scene studying?
Oh, yeah. She was being the great. She was known as the great physician.
And she had access to my libraries.
Your library? No, it's her library. You don't have a library. You just borrowed your books. She has the cashier. You're not a cashier.
So the Alexandrian Library was not built by me, by OpenL.
No, you just raided it and burnt it. You got shit out you wanted and burnt the rest of it. You burnt the damn thing. That's what you do. That's what you do. You'll buy a library and then burn it just to see if it'll go up in smoke.
Okay. All right. I read this statement. I guess they're talking about chemistry. Allotropic states.
Oh, yeah.
And they say traditionally, carbon becomes diamond. Haven't you been telling us that carbon's, in the new situation, doesn't become diamond? Have I heard you say that?
Correct. That's correct.
It becomes a new carbon, right?
Yes.
So
correct.
That would be an evolution or a change in an allotropic change in elements, in chemical elements is around the atmosphere of ascension. If it doesn't ascend, if we're not in ascension zone or temperature or mood or whatever, it goes into a diamond, correct? Carbon will go into a diamond.
Hold on one second. Hold on just one second. Carolyn, are you interested in this?
Yeah.
Okay, good. That's why we wanted to know. We'll send it to you. What he's babbling on about, he has no idea what the hell he's talking about, so this will be fun. At least you'll get something good out of it. We're talking about allotropes. The pictures are the allotropes of carbon and showing you how it works. Karen, the one you want to look at is called G. G.
Right there. It's a cluster of flies, it looks like.
Yeah, of carbon.
Yeah, it's messy. That's the one
now,
that goes into new carbon.
Diamonds would be a representation. The allotrope would be C.
B what? Oh, C. Yeah, that's
Steve.
Diamond. Is that diamond or on the way to diamond?
On the way to diamond. And then when they set, you get E, where the structures become striations, so they're not cylindrical.
So, Right. No. E set. That's on the way to diamond or new carbon?
Yes. Diamond. And then new carbon becomes G.
From C, C to G?
Actually from B, from B.
B to C. So B is the carbon that's in the ascended realm?
Okay.
B?
No, B. B is like coal. Coal.
Yeah, are you saying B is in Bob or D is in David?
B is in bitch. Coal.
Yeah, that's coal. And it becomes G? In an ascended environment?
Correct. That's correct.
Right. Otherwise, B becomes C, or does C start as C? Okay,
no,
so it begins with B, which is coal.
Well, carbon, which is A, We're talking about amitrope,
right.
Bob. We'll get back to what you're talking about. So the stages and the steps of how this works. Now look at D. Now here, the McCarolyn, he won't get this. He will never get this. So don't worry about it. But you get this. You look at D. You see D?
That's a carpet. That's a soccer ball. Soccer ball.
That's a Wilson.
Okay.
Thumb on my bitch. Thumb on my bitch.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Wilson.
That came from B. Or A.
Correct.
Does it all come from A? What comes from
A? Well, we'd say yes. That's the not perfect version of carbon. See, that's the allotrope aspect. The allotrope.
Right. That's
you have to know what an allotrope is. Okay. Yeah.
A comes from Earth, the fallen dimension. And,
okay, now here's the next thing. The reason we brought darling, the reason we brought you in here is important here, because you got to go all the way down to what is the allotrope of carbon if you're talking about graphite.
Hmm.
Uh-huh.
Do you want to define allotropic? Because we don't know how you're using that word. What does it refer to?
Well, just look up the word. You'll see.
Oh, okay, that's just what it says.
Now, wait. Carolyn's perked up here because everybody's vamping about graphene. Remember how everybody's been raising hell about graphene? Look at that graphene. Look at the allotrope of carbon in graphene, and that's exactly what they're pumping into these stupid motherfuckers' bodies. It's going to kill them dead as a sack of hammer.
And which one is graphene? Which letter?
It's in her book. It's a whole nother picture. Carolyn's got it in her goo-goo.
Allotropes of carbon. So allotropes is the property of some chemical elements who exist in two or more different forms, known as allotropes. So allotrope means different forms of something.
That's
correct.
Graphene.
That.
Diamond. Mm. So that's a fallen condition. Yeah,
correct.
That's a fallen condition.
And now what you're looking for is the amorphous carbon. That's the cloud, amorphous.
And it becomes what?
The cloud. Your cloud, Bob. Your cloud.
Yeah, but which letter is it? H?
No, we'll send you the picture. You can't go by that. Amorphous down at the bottom. It would be there is a picture of it. It would be G. It would be G.
That's the cloud.
Mm-hmm. That's what you. No. Yeah. That's right. It's not the cloud, but that's cloud carbon. Now, riddle us this. Why in the fuck are we waiting on Dimitri to figure out this thing we just told you?
I don't know why. Just because we're not in a hurry.
That's why. There you go. That's the secret to life, y'all. The reason we failed as many times is because we weren't in a hurry.
We recited to the dumb
perfect.
People.
That's perfect. That's hand signals for the non-hearers. Hand signals for the non-hearers.
Okay, that's good. All right.
Okay. So now you got that. See, look, Carolyn, he said he can't get nowhere. He got a little where there. A little where, not much.
Yeah, a little
it won't
bit,
last
a little
long. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you very much. I was interested in that process. It was said in an essay on Finnegan's Wake. The guy just mentioned carbon turning into diamond, and he said allotropic. So I said, maybe that's the way to ask Ian about the different doesn't go to diamond. Goes to another form.
If
it's ending. Okay. There was an inventor named Thomas Townsend Brown. Maybe I could give you, if you know him right away, I won't bother, but if I don't, I'll give you his years when he lived.
Years
in the
don't help.
Right, but Thomas and Brown. There it is. 1905 to 1985. He was an American inventor whose research into odd electrical effects led him to believe he had discovered a connection between strong electric fields and gravity, a type of anti-gravity effect. Then they say, instead of being an anti-gravity force, what Brown observed has generally been attributed to electrohydrodynamics, the movement of charged particles that transfers their momentum to surrounding neutral particles
That's
in
okay.
air.
You don't have to do Wait, you don't have to do all that. Why don't you just say it easy? He was specialized in anti-gravity. That's all you need to say.
Did he get there? Did he make it?
No. Well, no. Wait. No. Wait.
Yeah, what's funny in this sentence.
We don't know what you mean. We don't know what you mean.
Well, did he create anti-gravity devices and the
no.
Pentagon has them?
No. The aliens did.
The aliens in the Pentagon, they did? They piggybacked
yes.
on his knowledge?
No. They leaked. He got it. He gave it to them. No. They
yeah,
gave it
yeah.
to him. They gave it to him. And he tried to call credit for it.
And he didn't get credit.
Not that big a deal. Yeah, he did. There you go. It's in Callan's inbox. You can see it. No big deal.
He got credit?
Yeah. February the 4th, 1964.
For most of Brown's life, he attempted to develop devices based on his ideas. That's not true. They're based on alien ideas. Trying to
Correct.
Promote them for use by industry and the military. The phenomena came to be called the Byfield Brown effect, or electrogravitics.
Uh-huh.
In recent
uh-huh.
years, Brown's research has had an influence in the community of amateur experimenters who build ionic propulsion lifters
yeah.
powered by
the
high
pictures,
voltage.
The picture's in Callan's inbox. You can see it.
Right. But earlier they say the movement of charge, his electrohydrodynamics, and what he observed, the movement of charged particles that transfers their momentum to surrounding neutral particles in air, also called ionic drift or ionic wind. Is there a connection to you or us naming you ion that
yes.
you're picking up on?
Yes.
It's the rules of language. Language contains
the
future.
It's the dielectric. It's the dielectric, Bob. It's both sides. Dielectric.
Yeah, you don't mean dialectics.
No, we mean dielectric. The asymmetry of dielectric. True
right.
electric.
And so I'm saying that language contains all words. You take a word, it echoes and reverberates and creates all words in that language. And maybe even it bounces into other languages. So if you're tuning into something that's coming in the future, you would call ionic because so much comes from ion later. Is that how the human mind works in language? They pick up future terms?
Yeah. We sent you that.
Okay.
We sent you the abstract.
Okay. All right. So,
okay.
so Brown.
Actually, Carolyn had it. Mm-hmm.
So the anti-gravity device. They gave it to Brown. He made it, and then they took it from him. The Pentagon took it from him?
Correct.
And was he pissed off about that?
Nah, they did that often, Bob. He had it. So even though they took it away from him, he still had it. You have that kind of if you can defy gravity, if someone steals your ability to defy gravity, he still has the ability to defy gravity. So it comes in real handy, especially if you're a damn engineer. You can defy gravity, you do okay, even though it was taken away from him, you see.
Did he make any personal anti-gravity devices, do anything with
yes.
them?
Yes, he did.
And who got them? Who got to use them?
Do you remember the problem that they had when they were doing the restructure of the Empire State Building?
No. I didn't know about that.
Why not?
Okay, so he...
It's not a original.
Why not? That's busy. That's busy
oh,
with Jane Russell. Jane Russell, man.
Jane Russell. That's right. I thought you were going to say Jane Mansfield.
That was later. That was later. Jane introduced me to Jane Mansfield.
Lord, next thing you know, he's going to be chasing Patsy Cline. And then it will go downhill from there. She went crazy.
Carolyn was with Joe DiMaggio, and I was with the Janes, so we weren't
That's
involved
true.
Yet.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's before Norma Jean. That's before Norma Jean got popular, huh?
Yeah. That's before her, yes. So Brown, I have here, what hit him when he was in prep school looking over that body of water? So apparently he had some kind of vision when he was in prep school. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, it was the he was trying to get the well, okay.
This is Townsend Brown like, we're talking about.
We know. We're yeah. gonna see. This is you wanna know what he saw? When
yeah.
he was looking over the thing? Okay, tell Karen to look in her box. This is what he saw.
Okay. He's looking at it.
Then August of 1960, right?
No, he was in school. He's a kid, like 1920s.
Oh, no, but he did it in 1960. He wrote it down in 1960. That's what he saw.
What do you see, Carolyn? Carolyn doesn't have a mic, so I can't see what she's showing me. She can show it to me later. I have here, did he jump to dimensions in
yeah,
that experience?
Yeah, that's what that machine does.
Oh, he saw a machine in this vision.
Yeah, and this is what he saw. And he was able to draw it, but he couldn't recognize how to draw it. Then later, he was able to mark it down. And he called it his own invention.
Yeah, he made it, and where did it end up? Who ended up with it?
Area 51.
Okay. Remember Warehouse 13, the TV show?
We do.
Ago?
We know it well.
That is Area 51, so to speak, a model of Area 51, the big warehouse. They do other things, but they have a warehouse there where they store stuff like Townsend.
Yeah.
Okay. In Siberia, there's a picture of exploding craters. It's a new topic. What are those? What's causing these exploding craters in Siberia?
No comment.
Is that part of the vomiting of the Earth as the poles flip?
No, something else.
Why wouldn't you comment?
Because it's too hot.
Is it involved the new aliens? The effects of the new aliens coming?
Maybe. Allegedly.
Right. Okay, so we have to hold off. So we're not going to get much on that. But it's nowhere near what people think it is. Whatever geological knowledge they project on it, it's not that.
Okay. Let me best ask you something. Remember Mrs. Fredrickson in Warehouse 13?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did she go around talking shit?
No.
She wouldn't say nothing. They told her shit, and she'd ask questions, and she knew everything. Right? But she didn't ever tell them nothing. Now, sometimes they'd get something fucked up and they'd come back and she'd have to say a little something. But she never gave up nothing. She never gave up nothing. Well, the reason she done that on purpose was because they'd gotten themselves messed up. They'd have gotten themselves in a problem.
If they had the answer.
Correct. The connecting the dots. See, and that's why Claudia was so good about it. Because Claudia could always dig past it. She would always dig through and get the secrets and do the stuff that nobody else could do or supposed to do or was able to do. She could bypass it. She can bypass it. And seeing Artie, he was just a fuck up. I don't know how he stood himself around. He was terrible. It was awful. But that's very key. Now, if you want to, we'll go back and do that all again on the show. But then everybody's going to have to watch it and look at it and go through all that kind of stuff. And it is interesting. For some of the how the stuff goes. But see, we'll just have to see.
Okay.
We'll have to see how it goes.
Yeah. So it's too dangerous for me to have the knowledge of the Siberian craters right now. That's what you're saying.
No, you could have it. We'll give it to you. Special delivery. But they can't have it, the ones listening. Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't play it, so you can give it to me. I wouldn't play it.
No, they're listening now, Bob.
And that means they, at night or morning, when I'm sleeping, they come and they listen, don't they? They get access to my computer.
Yeah. We'll use the Farnsworth communicator, Bob.
Philo. Yeah, we don't hear much about him. Well, that's good. You'll use the Farnsworth communicator to... Carolyn's looking it up, I think. She's doing all the work on her Googler while she sits in the sun.
Nice. She's getting the egg into her hair.
Beg your pardon?
But she's getting her air. She's not getting sun. She's getting air.
Oh, okay. All right. So that was interesting. Siberian craters. More later on that. Okay. So then the Ernest Hemingway. He and his brother lived down near Cuba, maybe even in Cuba.
It wasn't down near Cuba. It was in Cuba. It was off of Guantanamo. He lived in Guantanamo, Cuba.
Right. So in the late 50s, early 60s, they were down there looking for Atlantis around Bimini. What did they know and how close did they come to it?
Not too close because Sylvia Brown was wrong on it too. So she was no good.
Well, they were using Edgar Casey's son, Hewlin Casey. Edgar Casey died in 45, and this is 15 years later, and his son was hanging out with Hemingway, but the son had no mediumship ability, so he didn't help.
Correct. Well, he played it like he did. He played like he did because he was trying to get some money.
Yeah. And the Hemingways fell for it.
Yeah.
So is there, I think you have said there is remnants of Atlantis around Bimini, or they come through from another dimension through the area known as the hot zone or Bimini.
Yeah.
Is that accurate to say that?
Yeah.
But aren't we building Atlantis, and that's a different structure than whatever comes out of Bimini? What we build, is that connected to Bimini's Atlantis?
Hmm.
Secret? Can't talk about it?
No, it's okay. But see, you're getting it tangled up. You're getting it tangled up with a movable feast. You're mixing the stories.
The movable feast is the term for the history of the symbolist in poetry at the end of the 19th century. I think it was called The Movable Feast.
By Ernest Hemingway. And that's what you're mixing up.
He didn't write The Movable Feast, and let me check that.
He most certainly did.
Movable Feast. Well, if he did, I never read it. I missed that one.
Well, you never read anything. You don't read anything.
Yeah,
you never
right.
read the zany mystic. You don't read the main. You didn't only read the mental doodles. You just put them in your trash box. And you didn't even read The Republic of the New Atlantis either. So what are you going to do?
Okay, so there it is, A Movable Feast, a 1964 memoir by Ernest Hemingway about his years as a struggling expat journalist and writer in Paris during the 1920s. I certainly didn't read that. Now, why did you bring it up? What were you answering me?
Because you're mixing up. You're mixing up this siege for Atlantis and the quantitative issues that he was dealing with, because he was heavy into his absinthe world at that point, Bob. He was sort of strung out all over the place. So he was trying to chase, he was chasing rainbows, gravity's rainbow. Oh, God, here we go with pinching again.
Are you talking about in Paris or in Cuba later or both?
This is both. This is, he's writing the stuff about in Cuba, about what went on in Paris. Okay, so then he transferred that into this the Republic of New Atlantis, trying to make that be a spot. And so this is the thing that his brother supposedly solved. You see,
but he didn't.
Right, that's right. And so therefore, you got you a micronation, but it doesn't mean much. You see.
Okay, so you talk about James Joyce was into absinthe. Is modernism, that literature and that novels and books and essays and thinking in the before World War II, before World War II,
sure.
after
That's
World
right.
War One, maybe during World War One also, is absinthe really the motivator in all the modernist famous names of modernism?
We would say no, but it was what they used at the time, Bob. It's kind of like the way they use crank now and crack rocks.
Right.
It's just the soup du jour. It's the LSD for Dave Worcester and Bob Carr. But the only thing about it is Bob Carr is still alive, so good for him. He did the little boys. He's coming to his own now, Bob. Everybody's diddling little boys now. He's into his element now. They make it legal. They get rid of abortion and let them diddle little boys for free. It'll be good. He can come back home, Bob. He can come back home. It'll be good. We'll build him a little statue. He likes statues.
Yeah, there's stories coming out. Chris Cuomo's photographer, director of his videos, was doodling little kids. There are 10 people in the CIA diddling. Why were so many people diddling kids the last 10 or 15 years? What made
that
happen?
Because you gave up pedophilia years ago, and you were done with it. So somebody had to pick it up. You were like Hilda on the Mr. Corso's library holder.
Yeah,
at one of the 9 gates. She says her days of orgies are way over. She was done with it. Her days of orgies are way over. She hadn't spent her time worshiping her dark lord and master, Satan. You know, Bob. You know him really well, don't you? So after that,
he was a no for now wannabe.
Yeah,
I was trying to do what I was doing.
He was in the Open Ale Club. He was in the Skull and Bones, but he didn't do very good. He didn't make it very far. But he followed that Skull and Bones as far as they'd let him. You know, but they wouldn't let him go out of frat house. They wouldn't let him out of frat house row. You know how that goes.
He was so mad at the little people because he said, "I get to sit on the right hand of Bob." He meant Open Ale. That's what he
of
got
course.
Pissed off about. Got
of
thrown
course.
Out because he tried
of
to
course.
Get near me.
Of course.
Yes,
of course.
Sense.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
This is good. So this going to be, you're going to make this be your Christmas special, right, Bob? For me,
yeah.
Fucking Christmas.
The Christmas story.
Yeah.
It puts everybody in a good mood that Bob was joking all along. It was
Au Pair, Au Pair Noel, Au Pair Noel, Au Pair Noel. And this is the one, he comes but once a year. That's like you, Bob, just comes once a year. It's good.
That's right. It's not much of a thrill anymore. I do a lot more than coming.
Yeah. I see. Well, that's good. It's always good to know.
Yeah. Me and Walter Bauer discovered the Eureka mechanism in the brain. That's a better orgasm.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Eureka. You mean the one in Oregon?
Yeah.
California. Edge of California over there at Hook off the Willamette Valley place. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We're on the way to Paul Shockley's house and we discovered it.
Nice.
In Portland. He was in Portland. All that nuttiness in Portland comes from us in 1982.
And we're not surprised. We are. We're a lot of things, but a surprise is not one of them.
I wrote here, Taiwan mouse bites a security guard. What would be a Taiwan mouse? I don't think I meant the thing on my computer. Is there a Taiwan mouse?
Yes, there is.
And it bit a security guard. Why would I note that? Some kind of...
Because it was a little odd.
So the Taiwan mouse usually doesn't bite or kill humans.
Correct.
Is this a mutation? Part of the pole shifting?
Yeah, it's the same thing. It's the same thing they used when they rubbed it on the leader in the airport and made him die. Remember the...
on the person, on who in the airport? What's that?
Poison, two different kinds of poison, and when you mix them together, it becomes instantly fatal.
And what's it got to do with the Taiwan mouse?
That's how the mouse killed the security guard.
Because it was a mixture? The mouse is a...
It had, they applied the poison to the mouse.
Oh, and it was carried it. Was it inside it? Injected
it was
in
on
it?
The outside. No, it was on the outside of it.
On this side. And so when he bit the guard, it rubbed off. The bite didn't do anything. The rubbing off onto
correct.
The guard.
That's correct. And
because
they checked it. They didn't check it. They should have checked it, but they didn't check it. So it basically shuts down the nervous system instantly. Can't live without a nervous system. Are you nervous, Bob? Can't live without a nervous system.
Right. So in chemistry... you talk about these poisons on a little Taiwan mouse. Are these particles really tiny? These things that poison people.
Yeah, they're little.
They're really...
Don't. Don't worry about the big spiders, Bob. You better worry about the little spiders. The little spiders are the ones that get you, not the big spiders. Big spiders don't do nothing. Tarantulas, they ain't trying to eat you. Them little brown recluses, they'll fuck you up.
Reclusives, did you say?
Brown recluse.
Ground or brown? B-R?
Brown.
B-R.
Brown is of color.
B-R-O-W-N.
Yes, they're little.
And they're in corners. They're in corners. And they have particles around them that travel
fast. The name of the species is brown recluse.
Oh, okay. But they are kind of hiding in the corner. They don't strut around like the tarantula. They're just there ready to leap on you. But I'm talking about the particles. They're very tiny in nano levels, and they move speedily around people. And that's how we get infected, through the speedy little tiny particles. Or are they waves? Yeah. Are they wavicles?
I don't even know what. Carolyn, what is he talking about? It's just talking crazy.
What are you talking about?
Damn. Okay, no. You need some electrolytes now, Bob. You need some electrolytes.
Yeah. I'm talking about wavicles.
Yeah, don't talk about wavicles. Go to the next fun thing.
What?
Don't talk about wavicles. Till later, for another day. When you're feeling better, Bob. Do it when you're feeling better. It'll be better then. You'll like it. It'll be good. Wavicles, Karen. What the hell is he doing? Are you feeding him? He needs to eat. I think he must be getting low or something. All right, get on to something good, Bobby.
Mixing it up with popsicles, I'm sure.
Oh, that's it. Yeah. We knew there was a sugar shack in there somewhere. We knew this. We knew.
I did.
Wash his hands. Wash that filthiness off of you, Bob.
All those little nanoparticles from the Taiwan moss.
The wavicles. You had to get the wavicles off of you, Bob.
Yeah, so I'm going to write wavicle in my notes, John, as a future topic.
And then you put in there, Ion said, good luck after that. Good luck.
That was a threat.
Ooh, that's fun. And you know what?
Okay.
We don't know why you're not famous. You grow a 200-pound radish, and they won't even give you time of day. That's crazy. Somebody growing a 200-pound radish ought to be in the Guinness World Book of Records, and they don't even acknowledge it. It's just ridiculous what you have to go through.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Here's the next question. New topic, Ion.
Okay.
Here it goes. Does thinking kill the God self?
Yes, it most certainly does.
Maybe even the God self? Does it kill the God self?
Yeah.
What is the manifestation of that? You start losing cells?
No, you start limiting your position to little man.
Right. So normally when I think, I start thinking and I'll get a few syllables that, well, that's not going to go anywhere, and I stop. That's the way to do it, right? You just keep aborting your thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the way to do it, people. That's how you sin. You start thinking and you notice you're thinking, and you say, well, that's not going to lead anywhere, so you stop it.
Yeah.
Drop
it. Remember the Congos? Play the Congos for Saturday.
What's that, a band?
You know, Congos, come with me now. It's in your atrocity. That's what we call your music playlist, the atrocity.
you said it to me?
Come with. It's in your library. Come with me now. I think I thought myself to death. Remember, I think I taught myself today.
The Congos is the name of the band?
Yep. And then the name of the music is Come With Me Now.
All right. Note that, Carol. All right. You were talking the other day, I think, on the radio. The first numbers were angles. So
all
why
the numbers
were
are,
angles?
All the numbers are angles, Bob. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but when we first invented numbers, if we didn't get help from the aliens, Why did we look at them as angles? What did that mean, angles?
Everything. Everything is in an angular pitch. Everything was about pitching y'all. Everything that's set. They set the pyramids, they had to have an angle. They built a road in Rome, they had to get the angle or the elevation right, so they had to pitch it. And they did that by scrying the position of how to rise and fall from topography. So topographical references are having to do with the angles. The angle or the fall, like a 12-12 roof, is 12 inches in and 12 inches up, 12-12. So everything was the angle. So numbers are the equation of how you attribute angles into the, well, maybe superfluous condition of writing, maybe. But now that's a McLuhan thing that you and your little idiots and fuck you university can babble about for a few days, but it won't have much to do with us. But we'll just tell you. We don't have to babble about it forever. You know, it's
great.
It's a little too Corinne-ish for us.
Right. So what I project and what you're saying, if we have just fallen and we're still quite close to the ascended state, we could look in one angle from our face and see a bunch of worlds.
Your words are sound. But let me tell you a secret. You're one gnat's ass from ascension, and you're one gnat's ass to dying in the metaverse. It can go It can go either way.
Right now. You're updating the scenario I was laying out.
That's right. That's right. Well, we're making it clear because your words didn't mean anything. The people know what a gnat's ass is. It's not a very big thing. So the distance between you and a gnat's ass is very close to you. You see? So we were trying to make it clear, the point that everybody's so excited about ascension, but meanwhile, back at the ranch, it's building up on the other side. The tide is high, and I'm going home. Remember Blondie?
You're saying the destruction is building up on the other side.
Yes. And so it makes ascension easy, but it also makes the fall. Look, isn't it? Don't you find it odd that just now, they're pumping graphene into the human being so they can have a carbonation of their servants. Meanwhile, we're building a super sugar carbon finale that's going to allow people to become a god. Don't you find it odd that they're going to build a metaverse, a cloud in a cloud, on a carbon-based reality so people can fall into, lost in space, into the matrix, as it were. But you'll have to call Neo and see what they say about it. While you're building super sugars that process in the bodies in a nanocarbonate structure that allows you to become the very heart and soul of God. Isn't that interesting? It's the absolute converse. We're not done yet. It's the absolute converse ratio position of how close or far you are to God. They're going to build you a little mini heaven so you can be your little God in hell. You'll be the God of hell, what you'll be, run by the hounds of hell. Or you'll take the right process and you'll ascend and have that very application as God, God. So as God, God. See the rub?
Yeah, so the symbol of yin-yang means if you're creating something, the obverse is being created. You used to say there's two conversations always in every topic.
Always.
Or angle.
Every topic. Yep.
Always.
Yep.
And so they become words create reality. So there's always the mirror of you or the opposite of what you're doing, or it has the opposite outcome of what you think you're doing. Is always so the yin yang means two worlds are being made always at the every moment.
So what that means is those are good words. I don't know what they mean, but they're good words. So what you're trying to say that you didn't say is that so the people who don't ascend says, oh, it's okay, I didn't make ascension, but I'm going to the metaverse. They got me a little apartment over there. I'm going to be great. I'll be all right. I'll be fine. I'll be out of the world. I'm getting out of this world. I'm going to the metaverse. You see, it's the alternative that's being offered when you can't meet the sublime. the alternative that's being offered if you can't meet the sublime excellence.
Yeah, that's what the little man wants and claims and demands. Choice. They want choice. They want the option to go to something different that Bob didn't go to.
I reserve the right to be wrong.
Yeah, right. So there's always the wrong from either perspective being made.
Okay. This is the same thing. This is the same thing we always have really pimped this out, pardon the pun, the pimp part. But we always lay it out about sex is God's idea, coitus. But then the counterpart of that is pornography. You see, they're the same action, but they're not the same thing. See the difference? Because it takes you have to play with you titillate, pardon the pun, you titillate your mind with pornography. But you can engage in coitus and have the same outcome, or maybe a better outcome, a more refreshing repose. I guess unless you're smoking cigarettes afterwards, I don't know. Maybe people don't really smoke more. They vape now. They vaping now. They don't have to smoke cigarettes. They're too expensive. So now what happens is you have the counterpart. You always have the verse and the metaverse, or maybe the converse and the obverse. You always have the two sides. And so what's being experienced here, you might look at pornography and decide you want to take up coitus. Maybe. Okay, if that'll do it, all right, we're not tripping. But often what happens is they get lost in the metaverse, they get lost in the pornography, and they never get to their coitus. See the rub? That's the same thing with this. That's the same issue that we're dealing with this ascension. Everybody wants to be a god, but nobody wants to ascend. Oh, it hurts. It's painful. I have to do stuff. I've got to learn the OA movements. I can't do this. They make my back hurt. I'm tired. I go call the popo. I ain't scared of popo. Call the popo. Can I get my nails did? I need to get my nails did. I can't do it. I can't learn the keys and the airs. I need to get my nails did. I got to do that. But things is important here. Life is hard. Yes, it's hard.
So the interesting thing about me as Ophanel is that I don't make choices. I explore both worlds.
Well, you won't turn down anything. Ask Carolyn.
I won't turn down anything.
He won't turn up anything either. He won't turn. He won't extend to do anything, but he won't turn anything else down. So it's all good. He's willing to try. He'll give it the old college try. Yeah, that's
our Bob. So I'm a big factor of influence in making all this new technical virtual reality that Zuckerberg and them are trying to create.
Oh, Bob. You're not that bad. You're just a little bit. You're not that bad. That's terrible. Don't say that about yourself.
Okay.
You're just a little. You're just little bit. We're gonna get it off of you, Carol. Carol, you better be nice. Carol, cut that sugar off. You better be careful. She'll shut it down now. Just saying.
Okay, so we start off talking about numbers and angles. So I wanted to say, I don't know if I got it set out, that I can, if I'm quite ascended and I can see other worlds, I look at one angle from my face, I look in one direction, and I see what I could have, and then I look in another direction. And so these choices or these angles of looking are where numbers came from.
Okay, yes. In the same way, when you take a book, you know, those things with pages?
Yeah.
And black stuff on the paper? You take a book and you read words in a book, and you see what they say. Now, words mean what they mean, and you see what the writer says, and you understand that that's what the writer said because they wrote it in the book. Remember what we say about it. How do you know the one that wrote the reading right? Now there's the conversation. Now you have to discern or sift or decide if those words are solemnly held truths, these self-evident truths to be correct. Now you negotiate. Then you adopt those words. That's what's wrong with the printing press. They're printing lies, Bob. Printing lies.
Right.
They say if it's written, it's got to be true.
If it's printed, it's definitely true.
See? So, and if it can't be true and you prove it's not true, it's still words and it's accepted, but they call it fiction. They just call it fiction.
So mathematics, geometry, arithmetic are complications that once literacy came along in writing were complications of the simple choices one could make on different angles.
Of angles. They were just angles. They were just angles, like avenues. You can't travel on an avenue. An avenue is the cross street. You got to get the street. You travel on the street and you mark it by the connection. So the angles are how you navigate, because the street will run you into the damn battery park or run you in the goddamn ocean. You don't want to do that. So you got to get the avenues to see how to navigate. It lets you know where you are. The angles tell you where you are, and that's what numbers do. They tell you how many there are between you and this, or that and this, or itch and scratch, or how many donuts you've eaten. See, those are the angles of how many donuts you have eaten, Bob. You know,
right? And that process, the process of using numbers to solve angle choices, gets more and more refined and a rabbit hole as you get more into writing and literacy and mathematics.
Right. And then you decided to read Thomas Pynchon and you read Thompson, William Irwin Thompson. And then you just go and kill yourself because there's no way out of either one of them. You can't get out. You get in real easy, but there's no getting out. Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down, Bob. That's what happens. That's what you need to know there.
What wobbles? Weebles? What was the
weebles? Sound? Yeah, weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. Your customers, those people you pay to listen to the show on the weekend, the older ones will know what weebles are. Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down.
Okay. All right. I have here a statement. The tech body has moved into the subcarnate body. I think you used the term subcarnate recently.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know.
It's not real. It's not real. It's real. Because you have your physical body, the carnal man. Well, he's dead.
Yeah.
Carnal man's dead. The carnality of man is no longer engaged. You go to the doctor, and now you can get doctored on the computer. You can get a Zoom. You can have a Zoom visit. They don't even need to touch the body. They're not doctoring you. The computer's doctoring you. They can look at the computer and see what's wrong with you. You see. Now you can take your phone, iPhone, and you put it on your wrist, and it'll take your pulse ox, it'll tell you your beats per minute, your respiration, it'll do all that kind of stuff and report it. And then they can adjust your medicine, and you don't have to talk to anybody.
Right, but that is measuring the subcarnate body.
Well, no. They call it carnate. They call it carnal. They call it carnal, but it's a subcarnate because it becomes a subset of who you really are. See, that's where Carol says, when they tell you these things, they're making these pronouncements based on what everybody else bumped into when they took this fill-in-the-blank disease. And so they adjust you like everybody else did, or hypertension or whatever, this carnal respect that's being presented. But the subcarnate being is fooling everything. It's cheating everything. It's cheating. The subcarnal is cheating. It's convincing you you're okay when you're not okay. Life is fatal, Bob. Life is fatal for the little man.
Okay, so the subcarnate body is an effect of an environment we call the tech body.
It's supported by it. It would be the operating system. That would be the operating system.
The tech body would be the operating system
of the subcarnate mind.
Is the subcarnate body a figure, and the operating system is the ground? Can we apply those terms to that way?
Yeah. Yeah, here you go with that bullshit. But yes, Bob, that's okay. You could. You fuck up a wet dream. You know that. Get all this down the rabbit hole. Get it all worked out and solved. Then you start bringing the mystery landscape. So nobody knows what the fuck you're talking about. That's how you get them coming back. And then you don't remember either. And it's like, well, I don't know what I was talking about, but it was real good what I said, but I don't have a clue what I was talking about. It was mystery, ground, substrate. Okay, it was liquefaction, liquidification of the subcarnate mind. That's the ticket.
Liquefaction. Liquefaction. That's what you're looking
for. It's not faction. It's Lord Ingraham. There you go again. Liquefaction factor of the subcarnate mind. Lord, suffering.
Okay,
listen
to this.
That was sad.
Yeah, I have. If tick body has moved into the subcarnate body, that's not exactly the right way to say it. But anyways, I have in brackets, no separate dreaming. Did I say something about no separate dreaming in the subcarnate? Like, everybody lives in dream, sort of now?
Yeah.
In
the dream isn't a dream. Dream isn't dream. Dream is real, Bob. You're checking out. We would say, you remember the truck driver, Ryan Johnson?
Yeah.
He was only with us when he was asleep. He was the best example of how most of this is. Most of your days that you're whizzing through, that you wonder where the day goes so quickly, those are just cat naps. You're living more in your cat naps than you are in your life.
So the life is the unreal dream,
basically. That's why Carolyn can't believe it. She can't believe it. And hell, you look pretty good for 100 years old, you bastard.
So when we describe the metaverse and that direction, that area, you can take an angle, turn left, and go into the metaverse. If you don't choose that and you go for ascension, are you a Luddite? Are you against technology?
No.
The metaverse?
No. You can't because that's the yellow brick road. You're on the same yellow brick road. It's just where you end up. One ends up at Oz and the other one ends up at Kansas. Where do you want to be? One ends up in Oz
and you want to be
in Oz. You don't want to go back to Kansas.
Yeah.
Right. It's the same yellow brick road. And so you have, well, like, look here. We're using the tech mind to have conversation here. Why couldn't we just pump all this stuff into your fucked up brain and get it that way? No, you got to run it through this and call that and plug it in this and record it here and put it here and free mega upload. Remember mega upload?
All that stuff.
You still use it, but you're using it to support the sublime. That's what you're doing. So you got to be in this world.
I'm using the technology to create the sublime. That's not good.
That's correct. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
You are. You got to. Because otherwise, everybody's going to have a kumbaya moment, or we're going to go like Linder and go eat peyote and get on goddamn fire stick, get a firewalker to come teach us something or tell us something like Weejot 68 and some rock falling out of the goddamn sky. No, that's not going to do it. It's more open. It's more.
No. Yeah. I don't know what sublime is in that paragraph. Is sublime ascension or metaverse?
Yeah. Sublime is ascension. The sublime.
Oh,
look up the word. Do you know what sublime means?
I don't want to get distracted. So I will re-listen to that knowing the sublime means ascension. So then I'll figure out what you said.
Yeah. The perfect state. The perfect state. The perfect state.
Yeah. So there's no. You say everybody's dreaming now because they're inside the tech body. Well, what is the function of dreaming? If when you sleep, you don't sleep, you go to other worlds. What is the experience of dreaming? Why does one think they're dreaming?
That when you go to sleep, that's when you woke. Remember, they're having a woke. Everybody's talking about being woke, but that's what happens when you sleep. You woke.
You go to another world.
But it's not even another world. It's just maybe a sub world. Then you practice these things and come up with stuff, and then you can do stuff. Like you get an idea. Like let's make a machine.
No. You just said something. Are you saying that the other worlds are sub worlds? There is no other world. Is that what you're just saying there?
That's a new idea. Well, you won't know the difference. See, we could say it's other worlds, but you won't know the difference
if you're ascended. So we're talking two conditions here. You won't know the difference if you're ascended?
Correct. That'll just be normal. That'll be your life.
In one world. So that's why I didn't dream. Correct. And now, all of a sudden, motherfucker, you are.
Because and the birds, I'm being massaged
and the birds are getting pissed off at you, too. The birds are.
Yeah, but no, I'm dreaming now because I'm letting an inferior life form, the aliens, to do aliens fuck with me. Right?
Yeah. That's right.
The aliens are my metaverse. As
you're
I interact with them.
Your doppelganger.
Right. And so that's what I was getting at when I said the aliens are not as evolved as humans. They can't be as ascended. That's why they want Ion. That's what
but
they
they're scared to death. And they're scared to death because when you become a god, it goes back to Ghostbusters. Gozar the Gozarian has come. And then the first question out of their mouth is, are you a god?
That's
you're
right.
A god, and okay, now what's up? But if you're not, you can get fucked up. Mm-hmm. Now we
right, so the aliens aren't going to ask me if I'm a god. They're going to say, Bob, you're a god and we aren't. Can you help us become a god? That's what the new aliens are going to say to me.
They want the power.
Right, because
I got
what?
The power.
They want
I got the power. Dun, 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 dun. That's all they want, Bob. They want to shoot hoops and get the power.
I get that. Now, we're here, but it's not science, and everybody tells you you're on Earth and in this little wonderful garden. But we're not here when you're ascended. You understand. But you don't go running off into technological rabbit holes or you'll become an alien speeding around in some vehicle beyond the speed of light, right?
The kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our God. That's where you're coming to. That's Isaiah. That's you're now ending into and coming into the heels of Isaiah. And Bertrand just got all jiggy happy and Jenny Bell just rubbed her forehead. It's like, oh shit, here we go to Isaiah dream. We're going to Dreamtown, Bob.
Well, Isaiah is important because in the Vatican, little Carolyn is on the shoulder of Isaiah in the Sistine Chapel.
Yeah,
so we're going into Connie land.
We love it.
Yeah, we're
Karen.
Going into
she
Connie land when we go into. You agree? We're going to Connie Town when we're doing that.
We are. We just now got her back. She had her own goddamn billboards. She strung out all over the place. She was just all over the place. She'd been they were prostituting our Carolyn, and we were sick of it. We're gonna get her back normal and real and sweet.
We could have ascended in 69, but no. She had to go through four years in the metaverse.
We had to endure Ralph Doobie.
And Dave Worcester and everybody else. All the holy offices. Because Carolyn
had to go
on a billboard.
Say it right. It's the holy orifices, Bob. It's the orifices, not offices.
I remember we came back from Seattle in 1970. And Carolyn started studying for exams. I said, oh, that's not good. She wants to go to Dalhousie. She wants to get on the billboard. But I put up with it for 40 years, and then I had enough. And I brought in Ion, and Carolyn had to adapt.
And she absorbed us slowly. But she got it, though.
Yeah.
She got it now.
Finally
got
it.
Now she got the Osterham keys.
Okay, so... so what is the experience of dreaming per se?
Living.
It's not what
living.
Okay, but what about living. When you fall asleep and you get these fantasy worlds or whatever you call it when you're dreaming and you're actually in other worlds?
No, what is the dream? No. That's living. What you're doing now is dreaming. When you're functioning, when you're up, what you call up, that's the dream. When you go to sleep, that's the real part. You got it all fucked up, like normal, Bob. You got it upside down.
Right. So I'm experiencing dreams now due to the alien massage because I'm entering into rabbit holes with the aliens, new aliens.
Excellent.
And
excellent.
They're giving me real living.
Don't know what that means.
Well,
use
you
your
think
words.
When you're dreaming, you're living, and when you're alive and woke during the day, you're dreaming. What are they doing to me?
Who are they?
What are they giving me? The new aliens. What are they giving me as they massage me? Are they giving me life?
You mean you?
You mean you personally, not everybody.
Yeah,
else.
When I'm dreaming.
Well, you've got to be clear, Bob, because we thought you were talking about dreaming for everybody.
Yeah.
People are going to listen to this shit, Bob, and they're going to be lost, and then they're going to be calling you on that phone you don't answer. You know that one that you don't answer? That one.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That'll be fun. Then what happens is, for you, what's happening is you're sorting it out to allow your body to morph into a new, what you said on the show the other day, a resonant node. You're changing your set point. You're set your fat, what Carolyn calls it, the factory reset. The factory reset that brings you back, because you're not from Andromeda. So your factory reset is a little different than everybody else's. That's why you were fucked up on your vitamin D, and you were fucked up on your electrolytes, because, well, that, no, and some other sordid and buried things that are a little disgusting right now. They're a little disgusting to discuss right now, but that's that. You're on the road to Whaleville. On the road to Whaleville.
So when people are sleeping and they wake up, they say, well, I had a really good dream. They had a really good life. And when they woke up, they entered into the dream world again. So
Then they sit in traffic, and then they pay bills, and then they don't have enough money, and then they get fucked too much, and they don't get fucked at all, and they drink coffee till they get to the whiskey, and then they drink wine, and then they slap the shit out of their mate, then they go to jail because they slap the shit out of their mate. Then they have children, and they have abortions, and then they have flowers, and then the flowers die. Then they have relationships, and then they hate their mother. Then their daddy hates their mother's brother, sister's cousin's neighbor. Then they had an affair, and they have a stepchild, and then they get the inheritance, and then everybody dies. Then they go to court, and they sort it out. Then they have to probate the will. We've got to probate the will. Now they go through all these steps and these processes about, my sister never loved me. She just didn't love. She didn't understand me. And she got all the goddamn money. I hate that bitch. I can't believe it. There you go. See, that's how they're doing. And that's what's happening. That's in the dream world, which is what people normally say is the real world. Then you go to dreamland, which is real living. Everything's all right. We say, oh, you got somebody you're fucking regular. Feels really good. You got yourself together, eating good food, grits and gravy. Woo!
Okay, I got it.
From that chocolate pie. Chocolate pie, Bob. Chocolate pie.
Yeah, I used to wonder what you had this world, and then you go to other worlds when you, quote, sleep. And I wondered what was the phenomenon of dreaming. There is no dreaming. When you are experiencing other worlds, you think that's a dream, but it's the other world you're living. And then you come
How
into a general
it?
Condition. Wait a minute. You come into, you wake up into a, after living, and you come back here, and you're in a condition of dreaming.
Correct. And that's the, and they know this. They look at the theta waves, and look what they call it. REM sleep. Rapid eye movement. Why don't you have rapid eye movement when you fucking wake? Why do you have to be asleep to have rapid eye movement? That's ridiculous.
See? Do ascended,
I mean, that's the whole
point. Do ascended
people,
do ascended people have rapid eye movement?
They have REM all the time. They have REM all the time. That's right.
There you
that's,
go. A,
that's the whole point. That's why you change in the twinkling of an eye.
Okay, hold it.
That.
And you change in the twinkling of an eye when you're ascended.
No, from a little man, you can ascend from a little man to God in the twinkling of an eye. That's right.
And that means acquiring constant REM.
Correct. All the time.
Yeah.
All
okay.
day, all night, 24 hours. That's right.
Okay, the next thing. Why did Lady Gaga sell Zappa's house? I think I asked you this before, but I don't know if
she
I get
lost
a clear statement.
She lost it all. She went on the wrong side, Bob. She failed.
So she wasn't worthy of having the house?
Correct. We took it away from her. Fuck that.
Okay.
Bye.
And she's
so the better question is the better question is who owns it now, Bob?
Well, I do. I know that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't tell Carolyn. Don't tell Carolyn. You'll overdraft your account again. That's all the last thing we need.
Yeah. Now, so Lady Gaga screwed up when she went against Trump. That's where
correct.
You're saying
she got
fined
that part. And then she went all the way into it with the adrenochrome, and I mean, it's ugly. And it all happened from her dear aunt. It all happened from her dear aunt Joan. Joan messed her up. She listened to the dead. Do not follow the dead. They don't know. Their retrospect is not appropriate. Nan is good at bringing the dead back or sieving the dead. See, that's what Kurt Netter worked at with the sieving of the dead to bring those parts back that you can use. What happened was she listened to her sister, aunt, her mama's sister, Joan, and got all fucked up in it and got all into that underbelly side. And the next thing you know, she's chasing the Trevorkia's the nine gates.
Right. Now, she did she listen to her Joan through a psychic? She went to a psychic?
No. Medium? No, she didn't have to do that. She just followed that memory, that virtue, that spirit of position.
Yeah. The residue. Followed the residue.
Right. That's good. That's good. Because you remember the first part of that, there was still a guff, first part. And then it opened.
Yeah.
When it opened, that's where the Whoopi Goldberg and Ghost comes in, where you're starting to get everything. And you get sensitive, and you get started. Like Karen says, you're starting off, you get down that little thing, you start this shit, and then next thing you know, you're fucked up, and then you can't get unfucked. So don't start it. Don't get all drunk out and smoking and drinking and doing all those things you do. Don't get all crazy with that stuff, because you can't get out of it. You can't undo it. That's the rub. Sugar! Don't eat the sugar! See?
So, okay, I am.
On it, then you got to have it.
So, when I talked to various entities or whatever through the Evergreens, that wasn't cool because I was getting distorted information from McLuhan, Zappa, and everybody.
You're not. You were qualified. You were qualified to see. You were playing it. You were playing it. You were saying, "I want the record." You didn't believe a word of it. I just want the record. I'm paying for this.
Right.
I want the record. I want the record. Record it. I'm going to talk to it, then I'm going to verify this out. I'm going to listen to everybody. And I'm going to believe nothing. That's the way you are right now.
I got you. What was that? That was Dr. Dean burping, I think.
She was going to say something.
Yeah. Okay.
Go, Carolyn.
You had it open, Carolyn. So
Interrupt his time. Interrupt his time. He interrupted your time, honey bunny.
Now, so listen to this, Ian. Next topic.
You're almost out of topics. You're almost out of topics. So you better hurry.
Yeah. So listen to this. So dreaming was a space between living this life and going to other worlds. Now I realize that gap, which you call dreaming during sleep, doesn't exist. There's nothing there. You're either here or in the other world. Okay.
Correct.
And the other world
is that conditioned response. The other world is that response. Because like some people, when Karen wakes up, because she doesn't sleep now, notice how she's not sleeping? She's spending more time in this world. She's not sleeping. When she sleeps more, that's a fuller, richer life. Now she's hearing the drudgeries of digging shit and moving shit and freeze-drying shit and stacking shit and looking at shit and chasing shit and listening to people's shit and telling people they're full of shit.
Well, that's not ascension. That's exploring this dream illusion.
That's this part. That's what we're trying to move it to the next part. Yeah, we got that. It's beautiful.
Well, you've got her. She's doing things that you've moved her to, so she's entering more of the dream illusion.
Well, no. She's getting more. It's called Pura Vida, rich life. Now she's moving to the rich life. And this is the part that she's going to get less and less and less. It's going to get better and better and better, easier and easier and easier, softer, 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 and she doesn't have to chase shit. They'll deliver it. Won't that be nice?
Okay. You point out the High Clear Castle. Is there something special about that place?
Downton Abbey. That's Downton Abbey.
You mean that's the building they showed in the TV series was actually High Clear Castle?
That's correct. It is great. Still is.
Nothing special about that. No magic going on there.
There is. It's about to fall down, but yeah, it is.
Okay, the aliens hang out there? Something special goes on there?
There's a concentration in the way it was constructed, the lower floors. It was on a permeable, we'd say a power beacon. A permeable power beacon. Permeable power beacon. That's why it stood. They built the castle on it thinking it would last forever, but it's about to fall down. They cost too many euros to fix it, Bob. Too many euros to fix it.
Right. Okay. So most of Walt Disney's kids from the Mickey Mouse Club, Britney Spears, Justin Timberlake, Christina Aguilera, Ryan Gosling, other people, were they all abused?
Yeah.
In the Disney Club?
Oh, yeah.
Does Britney realize that's her problem? She seems to be quite confused and had a lot
people
of...
don't know what they like. They like what they know. So they're one step out of rehab. So then they get their life back, and what do? They show their nakedness on the goddamn Instagram. Oh, I'm free. I've been under bondage my whole life. I'm free. Oh, let me put my titties on Instagram. That's what I got to do. Oh, Lord Jesus, I feel so much better now.
Is that what Britney did?
Yeah. She just got off her conservatorship. The first thing she does is goes on to Instagram and gets strapped buck naked. Right there, on Instagram. You can't do that on Instagram. It's like, well, God darn, maybe you do need a conservatorship to go guide you through the wilds of life, apparently. I don't know. Pretty interesting.
But she's a little nutty because she was abused in the Mickey Mouse Club environment.
That whole thing. And see, then it becomes normal. Now, just watch. She'll roll along a little while once she recuperates and gets her feet underneath her, and then she'll become an abuser. She'll join the club, and the next thing you know, she'll have panda eyes. And the next thing you know, she's like, I'll show you what to do. I know what they did to me, and I survived. But I'm going to do it to you. That's where I get off. That's how I get off, is doing to you what they did to me. Because why? Because I'm used to it. There it is.
Okay. In 1936, what was known as the Red Duchess, she was Luisa Isabel Alvarez de Toledo, and she found documents. Anything valid in the Red Duchess's documents and what she found in her archive?
Yes.
What she wrote about?
Yes, and they lay out some high-minded positions. Do you agree?
I haven't read them, but high-minded is an insult, or you appreciate high-minded positions?
We'll see. Well, you read them, and then you'll decide. But they were quite interesting because most of it didn't come from this world, but it applies to this world.
Mm-hmm. Right. So she found manuscripts that were describing stuff from other worlds.
Correct.
All right.
They were reference points. Not as good as the Silas Duguid letters, but they were pretty close.
Is the Silas Duguid letters documents from other worlds?
Yes. They lay out. That's how one stupid motherfucker, Benjamin Franklin, laid this whole republic out. If you can keep it.
Yeah. Now we talk about these. We said going to parallel worlds is a little more a distortion from ascending and being here in ascended state where you're in touch with everything. Right. You don't need to go anywhere.
This becomes your kingdom. Your kingdom.
Yeah.
Not Vladimir Putin's kingdom, your kingdom. See the difference?
Yeah, when you're not focusing on other worlds, that happens here.
Yeah, see, you go fucking everything up again. But yes, those words are good. See, Bob just will not let it go. He will not go out of the top of his game. He's got to always be focused on snatching defeat out of the jaws of victory.
Yeah, I came up with an idea. In Q, who was an extension of Ion, guess what they called his messages and postings, Carol? Drops. So that was the literate version of our RNA drops was involved in.
That's right. And that's good because now we're going to let Q be the heavy so we can do what we need to do. You'll see.
Q's coming back.
You motherfucker. Where do you think your fortune came from in the first place? I guess that's why they call it good fortune, huh, Bob?
Did it come from Q? Is that what you're saying?
No. Now, we'll let him be the heavy. We'll let Q be the heavy so that we can have
and
the good fortune.
Yeah, Amazing Polly said Q is kind of coming back. People are recognizing what it said, and it's accurate. So it'll be a stronger in the polls.
Yeah, especially while you're laid up in the bunker for a few days.
Right. Okay, a little clarification. When we went through the A1, A2, B1, B2 descriptions, of different alien groupings.
Mm-hmm.
You start off at A1 that there's a species, aliens have been living in the Earth for a long time.
Yeah.
And did, now, then you talked about the underground bunkers underneath 234 Democratic cities, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Who built the underground bunkers under the cities?
You mean which of the aliens did?
Well, we know the A1, the A1 live in the Earth for thousands, billions of years, and they made all those tunnels. And then you start talking about these bunkers built underneath the Democratic cities over the last 10 years or so.
Correct.
Are the A1 aliens involved in the building of those underground Democratic bunkers?
And some of the A2s as well. Because the A1s are more relaxed. The A1s are more relaxed. They know what time it is. They know what to do. They're not trying to take over. That's like the cockroaches. They're going to be in here for millions of years, and they're going to be here millions of years later. They're going to hang out. Cockroaches always survive. But this is a different aspect because they're making room for some of these people in the metaverse to go hide while we take the ride. The ride.
That's right. That's right. A place for
those
that don't
make
those that don't get on the rocket. They're those that don't go to Andromeda have to have a place to hide in the Earth.
Yep.
And
so that's why they call it on the song The Long Black Train. The Long Black Train. That's where it is. It's under the ground.
Right. So are there humans working with these ancient underground tunnel makers?
Some of them are married to them, Bob. You've seen some people who've been married to aliens. You look at them, you go, God damn, that's an alien. That ain't no human. No way. Some people have sex, and they start recognizing, they get down to the rate of the completion, and they go, oh, God, oh, God. Oh, God!
See, they recognize it right there. So it's they recognize what?
And then they come? That they're a god. And they start screaming, oh, God.
They start screaming. Mm-hmm. They start screaming that when they are, are having their orgasm.
Yeah.
Okay,
gorgeous,
so
do that for you.
Now, the new aliens are running for some reason from somewhere and coming here to hide. Do they want to join with the A1, the relaxed aliens?
No.
And under the
No. They want the power. I got the power. They want
the
power,
Bob.
Power. They want your power. They're not our power. We're powerful. We're full of power, but they don't want our power. They want the human power. How can these little sons of bitches become a god? Anything that can take a little man and make it a god, I want some of that. Hook me up with
right,
that. So. I want an eight ball of that.
Mm-hmm. What is the condition of being a god that the aliens who can travel and shapeshift and do all this different stuff, that they're missing? What are they missing?
Humans do that too.
I know, but what do humans have that they don't have? Does the humans have a heart?
Oh.
We can make a big deal
of
a heart?
No. God is different than an alien. You never hear of anything referencing an alien god. There's not an illegal alien god. God is a different standard. It's above aliens. And there's other other beings, let's just say beings, they recognize that place of power because a god in his kingdom rules. So they can be more comfortable in a god's kingdom rather than racing across a very, very, very not comfortable galaxy or universe.
Right.
Oh, they found that other planet. Remember 100 years ago we said there's a great big planet in this little twirl? They found another planet just the other day. Isn't that sweet? They can't tell you nothing about the ocean, but they're finding them extra planets every day. Pretty cool. Not too far away.
So,
it's a big one.
So it's going to be 10 planets in our solar system, not 9.
Correct. Well, it depends on if they've decided to fuck Pluto or not. Pluto's just had a bad rap. I don't know. It is. It ain't. It's a moon. It's not a moon. It's two moons. It's a little planet. It's a big little planet. It's up somebody's Uranus, and they called it a Uranus. I don't know. Somebody's ringed up. They got rings. They got worms and ringworm, and it's terrible what they have to do. But they did find the next big planet, so that's always a plus. Glad you had found out something right, Bob. That was good. You had to wait for it, but it's here. You can look that up on the Googler.
Right. Now, that TikTok, maybe you sent it to me, This guy says, Pluto returns. When Pluto returned to France, they had the Napoleon took over. When Pluto returned to some other scene, that they had a victory, some nation. So America's going to have Pluto return?
Correct. Is Pluto, exactly correct.
America's having Pluto return astrologically.
Yeah. That's correct. And a lot of this has already happened on the 15th. Remember the 15th?
Of November? Or December?
December.
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 Okay.
Mm-hmm. A lot of it already
December
happened.
15th.
Oh, that's when Rai returned to essence.
Yeah, what was they doing on that day? That would be Tuesday. No, that was yesterday.
Yesterday? Remember yesterday. That was a long time ago, Bob. Yesterday,
I know, but
yesterday.
What was they doing a little while? Oh, I was on office hours.
Fuck you. Fuck you. You were profound. The rest of them jackballs don't have a clue. They get on the after show after you leave, and they go, what was Bob talking about? I really need to practice. I need to look at those words. He was using words I've never heard before. And I'm like, God darn, you sound like you're the PhD candidate figuring this stuff all out. When Bob's talking, but then the second he's gone, they don't even know what the hell you're referencing was. You need to be a little more studious with your pupils, Bob.
Okay, gotcha. All right, so then we'll end with this section here.
It's not going to be a section. It's going to be pretty quick.
Right. This is a video where they interview one of the main guys that answers questions about UFOs and the sightings of them. He's an amateur. He's a researcher. He's not a member of the Pentagon unless he is secretly. So he gets interviewed about recent sightings. And let's listen to what he says, and then I'll see if there's any questions. So I'll put on loud enough for you to hear. This is today, I think, or a couple of days ago, these sightings. There are a lot of sightings. So.
About some of the day's most interesting.
Okay.
Richard Southern joins us to chat about some of the day's most interesting stories, including another video, Richard, from high in the skies that's very hard to explain.
Yeah, what is it, Eric? I want to show you this. It's another UFO video that's been making the rounds. This is, if you're not social media, it was shot by a U.S. military pilot who was flying over the South.
Richard Southern joins us to chat about some of the day's most interesting stories, including another video, Richard, from high in the skies that's very hard to explain.
Yeah, what is it, Eric? I want to show you this. It's another UFO video that's been making the rounds. This is, if you're not social media, it was shot by a U.S. military pilot who was flying over the South China Sea. Filmed on the 24th of November. It just came out last week. Pilot was at 39,000, not far off the coast of Hong Kong, when he seen this out the window. Three sets of super lights on above the clouds in unison. You can see some of them dim and mysterious, but appear to be the same shape and speed as one another. Not clear what it is. The video, though, comes at the end of a year that has seen the UFO phenomenon gain widespread acceptance. Just the other week, the U.S. Department of Defense announced the launch of a new UFO task force. So what is it? Maybe it's, I don't know, Santa Claus getting ready to go on.
Perhaps, It is very strange, and that's very clear video, so interesting. Okay, the Golden Globe nominations were announced this morning, but it was...
Okay, now I showed, you could see three UFOs, and then behind them another three lined up perfectly, and then behind them another three. So three sets of three. Are they new aliens, old aliens?
Those are new aliens.
Mm-hmm. What were they communicating?
Okay, Bob. They were trying to show you the schematic of the angles of three. Because of the skull and bones, 33, the 3-3, three sets of three, that's nine, yada, yada, yada. They were trying to mirror or mock that they were trying to say to the Illuminati, whatever that is, that we're here and let's play. But the Illuminati,
right. They're not.
But the Illuminati can't help them though. They don't know that. They don't know that.
They don't know they're looking for me.
They didn't get the assignment, Bob. They didn't get the assignment.
But that's a faction in the new aliens, or none of the new aliens know about me.
Some. No, there's a bunch of factions, Bob.
Yeah, I see. So that faction doesn't know about me, and they're trying. Mm-hmm. They're not communicating the threesome law to me. They're trying to find
no.
some nebulous Illuminati they heard about.
Right. You know, the 33 Skull and Bones.
The Mason, they're trying to get
that hooked up. They're trying to hook it up with the ring because that's all they understood there was. But they're not. They thought they were the gods. That's what they try to say. The Knights Templar bullshit. Then the what is it? The Scottish Rite. Then you got the Shriners.
They think they're gods. They're not. And the aliens fall for the rumors that the Shriners are gods. That's where they're confused.
Correct.
That faction.
Yeah, that's right. And so that's what this is occurring. Then they find out real quick because they're not going to answer. So then you're going to see the setup change. Then it's going to go to Club 22. Then it'll be all
right. Right. But meanwhile, the aliens that know about me, that faction, are already in touch with me.
They're trying to get you ready so you don't stroke out or stroke them out. See, you're more powerful than you know. You don't know what it is, but you're very powerful, and we don't want to get you too. And Carolyn's head's too big now. He can't walk, so we can't make his head no bigger. That's probably a bad idea, but you're doing okay, Bob. You're doing okay. Just keep doing what you're doing. You're going to be all right. But
So what you're saying is that they're not upgrading me to their ascended level. They're adapting themselves to me. So they got to change
well.
Me. They lower me
as
so
well.
They can fit in. Okay, here's
as
a second.
As well.
Actually,
as well.
That video I played was not the expert. This is another sighting the other day with the expert talking about it. Let's hear this one.
Both sightings, with the latest being out of Chino Hills, California, where a swarm, look at this, of what looks to be UFOs were caught darting across the sky in a video obtained by TMZ. This isn't anything new. Sightings like this are taking place all across the country. And some recent UFO footage has even been confirmed by the U.S. government. So there's a lot of reason to believe that UFOs may actually exist. And here now to make sense of all of this is investigative filmmaker Jeremy Corbell. Jeremy, great to see you again. This latest footage, it shows a group of UFOs. And we should clarify, UFOs are unidentified flying objects. It doesn't mean flying saucer. It means we don't know what it is. And this right here, Jeremy, looks like a squadron.
Well, here's the problem, is that UFO sightings have increased both from our military is reporting them as well as civilians. I get videos every day since our government admitted that UFOs are real and they fly with impunity in our restricted airspace. As you remember, this past last 6 months, I've been obtaining and releasing military footage of UFOs that the Pentagon has been confirming. When you get these videos like the one you showed earlier, it's one single source, a civilian single source. We need corroborative sensor data in order to have a very robust case for a specific UFO event series. That's what I provided with the USS Omaha and the USS Russell when the UFOs were buzzing our warships. When I released all that footage, we have radar data, FLIR data, all sorts of visual data. That makes for a good case. But you're going to see more and more of these because our own military has told us there's been an increase in frequency of sightings and encounters.
I'm sure everybody watching is wondering, are we being invaded and do I need to get a booster if that's the case? That's a joke,
well,
Jeremy.
Here,
that's a joke,
threat.
Jeremy.
Go ahead. Well, I'm just saying that the idea, though, is that we don't know who is flying these craft. We don't know the intent of those operating these vehicles. And our government is taking it very seriously. Right now, there is legislation on the floor that is being debated to create a really profoundly robust UFO study group, something that is not in the shadows of secrecy deep within the Pentagon, but something that is now more beholden to the public and having to be transparent. We are all looking for UFO transparency. One individual case of UFOs is not something to hang your hat on. The general large topic, when you have multiple sensor systems picking these up, and again, when these things are invading our restricted airspace, that's when this becomes really important to the American and global public.
That's exactly right. The point is we can make jokes about whether or not it's aliens or flying saucers. The point is it's unidentified. It's in our airspace. The United States government has acknowledged it. What could it be seems to be a fairly operative question that we're not getting transparent or honest answers in. And then the question becomes, how do we do so?
And every scientist on the planet is now opening their eyes, and it's dawning on them that there is data. We have evidence. We have great information that can be analyzed, because these are craft. UFOs are not just only unidentified. We can tell that some of them are trans-medium craft, craft that penetrate the space between air and sea and space without destruction. So they have propulsion systems that far outpace, outmaneuver, and outperform anything that humanity has ever demonstrated in the theater of war or anywhere.
Right.
So that is the real thing here. There's something going on. There's a technology. Whose is it?
Yeah, no doubt. Whose is it? That's the question. Jeremy Corbell, always good to talk to you. Thank you.
Okay, so isn't that interesting, Ion? That is the populist reflection of the alien, the new aliens presenting themselves and their sub-factions all around the Bob issue. And the
right.
elite and the Pentagon and all that, no, this guy, Shirley Corbell or whatever his name is, he doesn't know it's me, but the elite know it's me. So, now this is the
right.
So we'd end with this point. I have, talking about the aliens last private session, part of the Battle of Trafalgar in 1805, I have a quote, and I think you said this. You said, the wormholes have moved to now. What is
yeah.
now? What have they moved to?
Okay. You'll have to, when you talk to Bert, he's going to give those, Carolyn, from the references from another life, those wormholes that have moved
oh.
to now, that's that same reference. Bert knows which one. You don't have to watch it all because you won't. I mean, for God's
yeah.
sake, you won't. But if he can give you the particular episodes that deal with it, you can have a perfunctory knowledge of that power wormhole dropping capacity. Because it's all impossible. See, everything in your world, in your state, it's impossible. What we're doing, listen, Bob, stop. Look at what's going on here. Everything that's going on here is fucking impossible, and yet it is.